Welcome to the Eat Right Nutrition Podcast, where we partner with experts in the health, wellness, and nutrition field to deliver you an excellent variety of content based on real science, real facts, and real food. I'm your host, Aron.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're answering the question, does cardio kill your gains? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 133 of the Eat Right Nutrition Podcast. Today, we are answering the age-old question, does cardio kill your gains? In this episode, we're also going to talk about different types of cardio, like low-intensity steady-state cardio and high-intensity interval training. We're also going to talk about what metabolic conditioning is, as well as the difference between NEAT and steps per day, because I feel that needs some clarification too. We're going to provide for you some insight into the research on cardio for muscle and vice versa. So talking about muscle for increasing cardiovascular capacity, is that possible? And we're also going to lay out a blueprint for you based on what your goals are and how to maximally achieve gains in muscle. So, Nicole.
Yes, sir.
Before we get into does cardio kill your gains? And this was a really interesting topic to research. But I do want to jump into a couple of things that I think people have misconceptions around. Yeah. And I want to talk about different types of cardio because the different types of cardio are going to really matter in the context of the conversation that we're having. So it's important to, I guess, highlight them up front and then go into does cardio kill your strength gains, because it's really going to depend on, well, what type of cardio are you doing? When are you doing it? How are you doing? So, you know, we want to kind of just touch up on those things. And the first thing that I want to clear up is the difference between NEAT and steps per day. And this is something, Nicole, that I used to mix up when I used to tell people, well, you got to increase your NEAT by increasing your activity. Technically speaking, intentionally doing cardio or intentionally increasing your steps is a form of exercise.
Correct.
Right. And NEAT is actually defined as those little movements that you do that you're unaware of. You don't really have control over NEAT. NEAT is just something that happens. And for those of you who don't know what NEAT is one of the components of your total daily energy expenditure, right? So you've got your basal metabolic rate, which is how many calories, if you were to just wake up, lie in bed, breathe and be and exist, how many calories does it take for you to sustain life? That's the biggest chunk of your total daily energy expenditure. Then you have your thermic effect of food, which takes up about 10%. That's the food that you eat. How many calories does it take to break down, digest and absorb that? Then you have your EAT, which is your exercise activity thermogenesis. That's about another 10%. And then 20% of your total daily energy expenditure is accounted for in your non-exercise activity thermogenesis. That's non-exercise. So I really want to emphasize the fact that NEAT and steps per day are two separate things, because steps per day, if you're intentionally walking, that is going to be considered exercise. So that's actually going to fall into the category of your exercise activity thermogenesis. I think people sometimes use them interchangeably, but you know, technically speaking, they're separate. NEAT, you don't have any control over. And in many cases, when it comes to people in a calorie deficit, what we find is that their total daily energy expenditure decreases. And one of the big components that decreases that is going to be your non-exercise activity thermogenesis. You tend to fidget less, you move around less. And these are all subconscious things that you really just don't have control over.
Yes. And I think steps per day, and I find this funny because a lot of the times with steps per day, we call it movement versus exercise, right? But it is still exercise. I think the word movement is what makes that confusing for people, or sometimes just makes it interchangeable and it kind of gets lumped into NEAT.
Yeah. Well, what I will say while we're on the topic of steps is that I think steps, tracking your steps, I think is one of the most underrated forms of activity, even more so than strength training from a health standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits of it are tremendous, and we find that there's a dose response, right? So the more steps you do, the less risk you have of all-cause mortality. You have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. You have a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. You have a lower risk of all diseases. So that is really, I guess, to emphasize the importance of focusing on steps. I think the research is kind of points to you should do a minimum of like 7,000 steps. However, what I will say is track where you are right now. And work on improving and increasing, because any increase from where you are right now is going to be beneficial from a health standpoint. So the next thing that I want to talk about, Nicole, is metabolic conditioning and what metabolic conditioning is, because before I did some research on this, I was really kind of unaware, because I think that it's often thrown around incorrectly within the gym setting, between trainers, right? Metabolic conditioning, people just think, well, if I'm doing cardio, I'm doing metabolic conditioning. That's generally, Nicole, I don't know if that's how you have heard it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've heard it a lot of different ways, to be honest with you. But in general, it's I've heard a type of cardiovascular work.
Right. So technically speaking, metabolic conditioning describes exercises that vary from moderate to high intensity, which intentionally draw from two out of three energy pathways that you have, right? So your three energy pathways, you have your phosphagen system, which uses creatine. Creatine donates phosphate. It's super rapid, right? It's like a quick energy source, the fastest energy source. And that's typically for activities that are last up to 10 seconds. Then you have your moderate, which is your reliance on carbs. You have glycolysis breaking down carbohydrates for energy. And then you have oxidation, your oxidative pathway or oxidative phosphorylation, in which you're using fat for energy. And the whole point of metabolic conditioning, or METCONs, as you may have heard them, is to draw on those first two, your phosphagen system and using carbohydrates, because those are the quickest sources of fuel. It's kind of a way of doing interval training, and METCON exercise routines are generally, let's say, like 20 to 30 minutes in length. The goal of metabolic conditioning is to improve both aerobic and anaerobic systems. And I'm going to talk about that and kind of my thoughts around doing metabolic conditioning and building muscle. But it's different from, sometimes people even use it interchangeably with high intensity interval training, but high intensity interval training exercises are technically textbook. They're meant to be performed at greater than 80% of your maximum heart rate, followed by a recovery period in which it's kind of like an active recovery period. And what research shows in terms of active recovery is if you just stop doing an exercise and rest, your heart rate won't go down to baseline as quickly as it would in active recovery. There are two different things. Metabolic conditioning, I think, is meant to optimize and capitalize on those two energy pathways, versus HIIT is really more so meant to optimize caloric expenditure. Because what we find is that when you're doing, like, in terms of body fat loss, which is an interesting concept, because then, Nicole, we get into low intensity steady state cardio, where low intensity steady state cardio, technically speaking, the lower your heart rate is, the more fat you're oxidizing for energy. So people generally think, and I used to think this too, when I was a young bodybuilder, I used to think, well, if I'm doing low intensity steady state cardio, I'm burning more fat, because technically speaking, that's what you're doing. But what's going to really matter is how many calories you're burning. It doesn't matter where the energy overall is coming from. Overall.
Correct. And overall.
So that's why when we look at high intensity interval training versus low intensity steady state cardio, we find that the people that are doing the high intensity interval training are losing more body fat because their total caloric expenditure is higher than the other group.
I think what's good about explaining all these, or at least this was my mindset around us doing an episode like this, is that people, clients specifically, when I say people, clients tend to get really confused as to what type of cardio they should be doing. One, just in general for health, like, should they be doing less metabolic conditioning or high intensity? Should they use different should there be different levels, like one day a list, one day a metabolic, one day a HIIT, 2 days a HIIT, one high, one low, moderate? Can you create a cardiovascular program based off of each of the systems? And that's how I prescribe my cardio for clients. And so I think, I mean, I get a lot of questions about that. I also do that in progression, just like I would in a strength training program, right? So you have, you know, stability, flexibility, endurance, strength, and then power or hypertrophy and power. I do the same type of pyramid with the different types of cardio that I implement for client programs. And so I feel like that's something that should be cleared up, because then you get to the question, which we're going to get to, of does cardio, you know, kill your gains? Well, it depends on what you're doing and then and where you are in that whole cycle of where what your goals are and what you're trying to achieve, and then how conditioned you are within each of those atmospheres of or levels of training or types of training.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if I want to give away my thoughts on metabolic conditioning right now or if I want to wait till later. I don't know where to put that in there. You want me to just get into it now?
Yeah,
in terms of
the
metabolic conditioning? So one of the things that used to drive me nuts is when I used to work with CrossFits and I used to do the courses with the, I used to do nutrition courses with the CrossFits. And a lot of the guys were like, you know, it's interesting because CrossFit affects guys and girls differently. And yeah. I find that girls have some type of, maybe it's a hormonal response. I don't really know what it is. I wonder if it's ever been studied at this point, but women tend to respond better in terms of building muscle doing CrossFit style workouts. And men don't really get that as much as the women do. And I don't know if it's just the fact that they're lifting a lot heavier than they generally would if they're doing a normal workout. You're pointing at me, Nicole. Like,
yeah, I think it's the strength training aspect of that, hands down, because no woman goes in a gym and works as hard as they do in a CrossFit class than they would in a regular strength training workout, especially in classes that do like barbell, whatever type of stuff. None of them lift that heavy.
Yeah. Now, what I'll say is for the men, one of the questions that I used to always get from men doing CrossFit was, how do I build more muscle? I just want to build more muscle. And there are two things that I kind of came to mind when people would ask me this question. Number one was, your workouts are so metabolically demanding that you're going to need to eat a tremendous amount more calories than you would have to if you were just doing like a traditional bodybuilding workout, bodybuilding split in like moderate intensity or somewhat high intensity. The intensity is different, right? It's not that bodybuilding is not high intensity. It's just that the intensity in terms of getting your heart rate up and all of the runs and the rowing and all the things that they're doing in CrossFit. To me, the second thing that came to mind was, and I, how do you say this? You're working in somebody's CrossFit and you're, you know, they just hired you to consult with their members. And in the back of my mind, well, but here's the thing, in the back of my mind, I'm like, don't do fucking CrossFit like that. If you really want to optimize and build muscle, CrossFit is not the place for that.
Yeah. Well, here's what's interesting about what you're saying. So for a guy in a CrossFit setting, if they're metabolically working harder in the cardio aspect and lifting heavy, that we're going to get to whether that kills your gains, right? And then you go to the females in CrossFit who are lifting heavier than they would in any other form of strength training. And they also are it's harder for them to push the cardio piece, right? So if you look at the women versus men in terms of those runs, their times tend to be a little bit different.
Well, we're also going to talk about also going to talk about how strength training affects cardio. Right. So we'll get into that. But really, the big theme for me with the CrossFit stuff was, you're not going to be able to optimize your strength training if you're doing, let's say, an overhead press and then you're running a half a mile. Right. Like that is not, you come back and then you do more overhead presses, or you come back and you do more deadlifts. It's also, when you look at it from an energy system standpoint, it makes a lot more sense when you're doing something like deadlifts, like your big heavy lifts, to rest. And this is why powerlifters, they rest a significant amount of time, right? Yeah. You want to rest. If you're not resting, I would say a minimum of 90 seconds, which I still think is low. I think the general range, exactly, yeah, is 2 to 3 minutes where I want people to rest in between sets when they're doing hypertrophy training. Yeah. And CrossFit just kind of flies in the face of that.
Yeah. Well, I think it also depends on the person and how much they can tolerate, because that, you know, the individual aspect of what people can do is completely different. I mean, listen,
of course, but no, if we're just talking generalizations here, I'm talking generally speaking, it's not really metabolic conditioning training, because I'm saying CrossFit kind of synonymous with metabolic conditioning, because that's what we think of, or that's what I think of, at least when I think about CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Metabolic conditioning training is not conducive to maximally inducing hypertrophy. Now, if you just want to be more of like a well-rounded athlete and you want to do that, then that's perfectly fine. It really just depends what your goals are. But Nicole, let's get into some of the research. And my answer to does cardio kill your gains is going to be yes and no, right? It really depends on the situation. There are some things that happen when you do cardio that may benefit your lifting. And the first thing that I'll highlight here is, if you're listening to this, kind of ask yourself the question, have I ever done an exercise where, let's say a squat or a deadlift, where I ran out of breath before I was able to do X number of reps? And if the answer is yes, then maybe you need to work on your cardiovascular system in order to just perform better in those exercises. So that's one instance in which your cardio can actually help your workouts. And, you know, I used to think with this meathead mentality of, okay, I'm doing cardio. Yeah, I do cardio. It's squats and deadlifts, but that's not really considered cardio. That's just lifting weights.
Yes. And you have to think of, like, I describe this to clients all the time. I'm like, the healthier you are in general, which we know cardiovascular does, right? Especially if you even talk about things like basic steps per day, right? You just stated all the benefits of what that does in terms of keeping you healthy. If you are performing that and then you're lifting, you are in a better state of being in order to be able to lift more efficiently or effectively or whatever you want to say. So I don't think that baseline movement, cardio, lists, just even moderate, is killing anything. I think it's making you a better person so that you are able to lift better.
To a certain point.
Right.
We're going to get into the nuances. So the first thing that I want to talk about when it comes to benefits of cardio that are going to translate into benefits doing resistance training is this study from, I believe it's 2022, by Aaron et al., where they talked about short-term aerobic conditioning prior to resistance training and how it augments muscle hypertrophy and satellite cell content in healthy young men and women. And what satellite cells are is, think of them as like kind of like stem cells for muscle. They are precursors to muscle cells. So if you can augment your satellite cell content and increase the amount of satellite cells, you're, by doing cardiovascular exercise, that's what the study measured, you're doing cardio and that's increasing the number of satellite cells that's kind of priming you to build muscle. And one of the things in that process that is happening is called angiogenesis. And now angiogenesis is the creation or the formation. Genesis is to create, right? The book of Genesis, create something. So it's the creation of new blood vessels. And particularly we're talking about capillaries here. Now, when we're talking about increasing capillaries, what's going to happen as a result of increasing capillaries within muscle tissue is that you're going to get more nutrients and more oxygen flowing to that muscle, and it's going to be more beneficial. However, there's a caveat here, because the study, the amount of, and you know, it's interesting, I just saw somebody do a video about this on Instagram, and it was Jackson Pios. And I think that there's a kind of a point that he, and I love Jackson Pios. I love his content. I think he's great. Some of the stuff that he's done with diet breaks and refeeds, I think is phenomenal. However, I do think that he missed a point in talking about this, because when you look at study population, these were sedentary individuals. So what my thoughts are on this is that potentially if you're somebody who's been lifting weights for like 4 or 5 years, you will have already capitalized on increasing capillaries just from doing resistance training.
Yeah.
However, if you're new to exercise, you may want to speed up that process by combining resistance training and cardio. That's what I gather from the study. It's really important to look at the population that's being studied and then figure out, okay, well, how is this going to apply to you, if at all? Yeah. Because, you know, for me, I don't think that I would get that benefit because I've been training for so many years.
Mm-hmm. I just keep going back to, it depends on the person and where they're starting from and where they're ending and where they're finishing and what their goals are. But I agree, absolutely.
Well, that's the theme, obviously, here. Now, the other thing that I'll say is, when it comes to from a just health standpoint, mm-hmm. aerobic activity versus anaerobic activity. So aerobic mm-hmm. being cardio and then anaerobic being lifting weights. Aerobic versus anaerobic exercise affect insulin resistance and glucose tolerance differently. So generally what we find is that you see that aerobic exercise will have a much more significant impact on insulin sensitivity when compared to anaerobic exercise. So just from a health standpoint, or somebody who's at risk for type 2 diabetes, yep. glucose tolerance is your basically, you know, how much does your blood glucose go up in response to a dose of glucose? Mm-hmm. And then how long does it take to go back down to baseline?
Yes.
That is affected by, and this is where we get into walking and yeah, just getting your steps in, because yeah. one of the biggest benefits of getting your steps in is increasing insulin sensitivity. And I, you know, I got the question one day on Instagram. Somebody had asked me, I posted one of those question boxes, and they had asked me, how do you lose weight when you're insulin resistant? And my answer was the same way that you would really focus on it. Is it going to take you a little bit longer? Potentially, yes. But generally speaking, what happens with insulin resistance is obesity or being overweight is correlated with insulin resistance. So, and that, a lot of that has to do with the mechanisms with like things like triglycerides and diacylglycerol that disrupts the signaling inside of the cell, right? There's a lot that goes on there. But generally what happens when you have higher triglycerides or you have more free fatty acids flowing through your bloodstream, that is causing the disruption. So if you, and that this is caused by being over fat, right? So if you lose weight, you reduce the insulin resistance. But if you focus on getting your steps in too, and you're walking more, you increase insulin sensitivity and therefore decrease insulin resistance. So from an overall health standpoint, I think it's definitely wise to focus on doing cardiovascular activity, at the very least doing low intensity, steady state cardio.
I think walking, I mean, I've said it all, probably every episode, all over Instagram, all my clients walk. Steps per day is non-negotiable for me in terms of health and wellness, for everything you just described and the mental health aspect too, that you could layer into that in terms of reducing stress and mindset.
All right. So Nicole, I guess next we're going to get into the nitty gritty of kind of what the research shows in terms of what's known as concurrent training. So concurrent training would be, I'm somewhere in my program. It doesn't have to be same day. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's just, I'm doing a program that encompasses resistance training and cardiovascular activity anywhere within that program or within that week, right? Within that program cycle. Versus just doing resistance training or just doing cardio. Okay. So Nicole, I guess I want to talk about the effects or the interference that cardio may have with resistance training exercise. And a lot of it has to do with the concept of overreaching. So the concept of overreaching is basically like overtraining, like you're overdoing it. And what we find is that generally speaking, people that do concurrent training, they do both cardio and resistance training. If you're trying to focus on building muscle, what happens is you're going to break down muscle tissue doing your resistance training. And then let's say right after you go for a run, let's say you just did a leg workout is a perfect example mm-hmm. of this. I just did a leg workout and now I want to go for a run immediately after. Well, if your goal is to build muscle, what's going to happen in that scenario is you're breaking down muscle tissue, you're causing muscle damage in your lift, and then you're causing more muscle damage when you're doing cardio. That is the concept of overreaching. Now, the interesting thing, Nicole, that I found in the research in terms of that concept is it really depends what you're doing. So, for example, if you do an upper body workout and then go for a run, because it's the other half of your body, it's your lower body, yeah. and you didn't train your lower body, is very body part specific. So if I'm doing, for example, what we find in the research is that people who did a run after a workout, like their upper body wasn't affected in the same way that their lower body was, because they would do legs and then do cardio. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody, the leg workouts that even you and I have done in the past, I have no idea how anybody would run after that type of workout.
I'm not running after that type of workout, but I will say, I mean, listen, I've had scenarios where, so now I'm training for this Century bike ride.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm doing at the end of July. And there are some cases where I don't really have a choice because I have to fit in my bike ride.
Yep.
And I will do a lower body workout, and then I'll also follow it up with doing my cardio. Now,
separately though, or do you do it back to back?
I do it back to back just because of time constraint. Time.
Yeah.
I would love to do it separately, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But you know, the real thing is for me is I don't care, because my goal right now is to train for this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not really in a place anymore where I'm not bodybuilding. So I'm not looking to optimize building muscle mass. If I can at the very least maintain what I have and get a little leaner in the process, obviously, I mean, those 4-hour bike rides that I'm going to be doing in the middle of my training, they're going to help get me significantly leaner. Yeah. But if it doesn't matter to me, I guess is what I'm saying. Because,
well, that's a good point, though, because if you're someone, now you're talking about someone that maybe is training for a marathon, or that's training for a different type of bike ride, or swimming, or a triathlon. If their goal isn't to worry about less necessarily gaining muscle, and they're just trying to maintain or lean out what they have, then that would be a great option for them.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, Nicole, that I'll say that doesn't seem to affect your recovery is actually when you look at differences between, and we kind of know this, I don't need a study to tell me that sprinters are generally more jacked than marathon runners, for example, right?
Yes.
Sprinting more so mimics something that would be like an explosive workout, like a power workout. And
yeah.
Speaking of power workouts, when we're looking at, so when we look at studies that they measure three different things, right? Hypertrophy, strength, and power. It seems that power is the most affected by doing cardiovascular, more so than strength and hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. So if you're somebody who is, let's say, a power lifter or an Olympic lifter, that is where you're going to see the biggest regression in your strength in those power movements. By combining, doing that, what we're talking about here is concurrent training.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just kind of a side note there. But in sprinting, it's interesting because sprinting, I guess, mimics, you know, and I look at sprinting as power too, but for some reason, sprinting doesn't seem to have that same effect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then we also get into the type of cardio that you're doing, and which type of cardio is going to be more beneficial or less beneficial. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that the running, there's a big eccentric component to running. So that eccentric component leads to more muscle breakdown. So running is actually probably the worst thing for hypertrophy mm-hmm. versus if you're biking or if you're walking or if you're doing an elliptical, those three modalities are going to be more beneficial because there's more, the bike and the elliptical is more concentric. And it's a different type of contraction, which breaks down less muscle. So what I would suggest is if you were to do cardio immediately after your workout, you would want to do either a bike or you want to do an elliptical or you want to do low intensity, steady state cardio. That's going to have the least amount of detriment to your gains. However, research also suggests that if you're able to, depending on how many days you're doing resistance training, if you're able to spread it out 24 hours apart, where mm-hmm. you do resistance training and then 24 hours later, you go back to the gym and you do your cardio. And then the next day you do resistance and the next day you do cardio. That's going to be the most optimal way of doing concurrent training. At the very least, if you're not able to do that, the next step down from that would be to do have a 6-hour interval and do two a day. So in bodybuilding, for example, I've done it two ways. I've done a prep where I did my workouts in the morning, my lifts in the morning, and then I come back in the evening and hit my cardio. Yeah. And then I've done it the reverse, where I've done my cardio in the morning, and then I'll come back and do my lift in the evening. And I know that I said you don't want to do cardio before your lift. However, you're getting a lot of rest in between those sessions.
Yeah.
So if you're doing your morning cardio and then 6 hours later or 8 hours later or however many.
Yeah. And you got hours, some meals in you.
Right. You have some meals in you. So that was the next point that I was going to make, is you're also repleting your glycogen after doing that strenuous, that run, that not run, but that low intensity steady state cardio that you did in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, from a fat loss standpoint, purely fat loss, if your goal is just, I just want to lose as much fat as possible, then high intensity interval training is going to be a key player for you there. Now, the issue that I have with high intensity interval training is that people abuse it because they overexercise. They use it as a means to overexercise. So when I'm giving recommendations to a client and talking about, well, how much high intensity interval training should I do just for good, healthy, to train my heart, right?
Yeah.
Training your heart is important. I always give the recommendation to just do it once a week.
Yeah.
And then I tell people the majority of your cardio should be low intensity, steady state cardio. And that's how you're burning calories. And then also keep in mind that that's just the way that I use cardio as a tool is not meant to expend a great deal of calories. What cardio does is it kind of offsets the calorie deficit.
Yeah.
So if I'm trying to create a calorie deficit for somebody, I don't solely want to do that through food. If I increase activity, you're not going to be starving and you're going to be able to eat a reasonable amount of food.
Yes.
And in addition to that, you're going to get you're still going to maintain the nutrient density that you're having, because you go below a certain calorie threshold where you're going to end up being nutrient deficient. And we don't want that either, because when we look at vitamins, minerals, things that you're getting from your foods, we always just kind of look at nutrition as calories in versus calories out. And that's very important. However, the vitamins and minerals, they're cofactors in metabolism. Metabolism cannot run efficiently if you're not getting your vitamins and minerals. And this is where this is kind of a side topic, but this is where I have changed my tune over the years around taking a multivitamin, because most people are deficient in some nutrient. So just to cover all bases, especially if you're in a calorie deficit, I always say take a good quality multivitamin, because that's just going to make sure that you're filling in any gaps. But I digress. That's a little kind of outside of what we're talking about here. But the point that I'm trying to make here is you shouldn't rely on your cardio in order to be kind of the gatekeeper for your caloric expenditure and creating the calorie deficit. The purpose of cardio is to do two things. One, optimize your cardiovascular system. Make sure that you're able to breathe throughout your strength training workouts. Make sure that you're optimizing, like we talked about, the vasculature and increasing the capillaries and increasing blood flow and oxygen and nutrient delivery to the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And two, to just create a scenario where you can eat a little bit more because you're expending more energy, but you're not relying on that expenditure of energy to create that deficit, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yes, makes total sense. I think high intensity interval training too is you have to be conditioned enough to be able to be in a high state of intensity. And I think a lot of the times beginners, maybe in intermediates that are trying to do high intensity interval training are not getting high enough for it to be high intensity interval training. And there's a lot of risk involved in trying to push themselves that hard when they haven't done all of the work up to being conditioned enough to do that.
Well, then you're just talking about like scaling up your cardiovascular work, right?
And yeah, which is why
following a progressive program, right?
It's exactly.
Like you don't get under a squat bar immediately first time in the gym. You may want to do a goblet squat first, and then you want to do a box squat, goblet squat, and so on and so forth. You want to follow those progressions.
Yeah. So same thing with cardio. And that's why I think this topic is really important though, too, because I do think people go from 0 to 60 with cardiovascular the same way they do with strength training. Like, haven't you ever, like a couch to 5K, people are trying to squeeze in being able to run a certain time for a race, and they're not taking the same progression and time to get to the place where they're doing it safely, just like they would anything else. So I just think, you know, this is just something I face a lot with clients. I'm like, okay, take your time. Are you walking first? If you aren't walking, then running is going to really be sucky. So maybe we should walk and then progressively get up. And then high intensity is something that you can layer in and sprinkle in, like you said earlier, as like an added bonus or extra or something else to kind of work towards being successful at.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, Nicole, like I said before, is the thought of like, when should you do your cardio? Obviously, you know, when you look at studies, individuals that do cardio before their strength training, they perform significantly less reps during a set. So they're not able to really push themselves as hard. And so I guess my overall recommendations that I would make, just to kind of recap everything that we just talked about, I think that it is beneficial to do some cardio. I don't think that doing no cardio is going to help you. And the other thing is, like, when we look at people, if anybody's listening to this and they are competing or they want to compete, or a coach that maybe is coaching somebody that competes, what I find generally speaking is with a bodybuilder, a bikini competitor, a physique competitor, whoever it may be, you can stay leaner in the off season by continuing to do cardio, and it's going to be beneficial to your show progress. Like, it's not going to be drastically detrimental to your gains to the point where, like, I'm not going to gain. Like, it's going to help you to be lean or leaner going into that show prep, and it's going to make your life a lot easier. Trust me, I know from experience, because I've done it both ways, and it's very difficult when you're in a calorie surplus and you're just eating away, and then you put on a significant amount of body fat, and then you have to take off an additional 10 pounds of fat during your show prep. So I do think that it's super beneficial in the off season. And then I just think it's beneficial. It does help your training to an extent. I think that you have to really factor in frequency, duration, and intensity. I would say that people should aim to do no more than about 3 hours of cardio, 3 to 4 hours of cardio per week, I think should be the max for people. I think that doing long sessions that are like an hour and a half, I think is overkill of doing cardio for an hour and a half at a time. Trust me, I've been there. And I wasted away in show preps by doing way too much cardio, because I had a show prep where I was behind schedule and I had to catch up. So well, I did the extra cardio, and there, you know, I ended up a lot flatter and losing a lot more muscle than I wanted to. So you have to kind of be moderate. And I would say 3 days, 4 days a week at 30 to 45 minutes is probably the sweet spot. And anything above that, I think is going to be overkill, and you should really focus more on the nutrition end if your goal is fat loss when you're going into something like a show prep. But I do think that cardio is going to be super beneficial from the standpoint, from a physiological standpoint, like we talked about, just increasing your cardiorespiratory system, increasing your angiogenesis, increasing the number of muscle cells, especially if you're new to exercise, like we talked about. And I think it's a useful tool. It's just, is it going to kill your gains? I guess the answer is it depends on the scenario and how you're using it.
Agree.
All right. And with that being said, that is cardiovascular exercise. I hope that was helpful. I hope that people aren't scared of doing cardio now.
And if you have questions, reach out to us and we can help you.
Yeah. Just shoot us a DM on Instagram at Eat Right Nutrition or Boss Blasi. And if you enjoyed this episode, click subscribe, give us 5 stars, write a review, share this with a friend, and you'll hear us next week.